This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Is Michigan's 6th congressional district ripe for change? Apparently many Democrats think so. 5 have officially announced that they are running for the seat, which is currently held by Republican Fred Upton. At least one other potential candidate is seriously considering a campaign. It's not clear yet if Upton will be the Republican candidate in the House district because he is considering running for United States Senate. We're going to take a look at the 6th Congressional District with Western Michigan University political science professor John Clark. Thanks for being here.
Always a pleasure.
So there was a time not so long ago when it seemed as though the Democrats had to go out and find somebody to run against Fred Upton, and now there are people lining up for the opportunity. Is there a reason that stands out to you why it would be now that more Democrats want to get into this race?
Well, I think there are a couple of things, one that's somewhat Democratic-specific and one that speaks a little more generally to some things that are going on in American politics. With regards to the Democrats in particular, this is not a phenomenon that is unique to our district. In lots of districts across the country, we've seen a number of relatively new to politics folks jumping into campaigns for a whole variety of reasons, but in large measure in response to the Trump presidency. And so the fact that there is a Republican in the White House and there are Democrats and potential Democratic candidates across the country who are angry about that, and connected with that, there were a number of potential Democratic candidates that were energized either by Bernie Sanders' campaign or just generally in the previous election cycle. And so you've got people that are sort of ginned up for a fight, and if they're not very well connected with Democratic Party politics and with prior elective office, then there's no reason for any of them to wait for somebody else. They all jump in together. To a large extent, I think that's what we're seeing here in the 6th District and, again, in other places around the country. More generally, I think the Trump phenomenon suggests that, hey, you don't really have to know a lot about politics. You don't really have to have the kind of resume that we used to think of as being important, and you still can win. That's not to say that most of those candidates without much experience or resume are likely to win. In fact, they're not, generally speaking, likely to win. But it can be done, and Donald Trump is proof of that, that you can run against the establishment of even your own party and still have a chance of winning.
Democrats have looked at the 6th Congressional District and have seen, I guess, a couple trends that have made them think that it is more winnable now than, say, it was 15 years ago. But still, you know, you're talking about if Fred Upton runs for re-election, a 30-year incumbent. That's never easy to win. And again, we have the long history of a Republican winning, even if he runs for Senate and it's a different Republican candidate. So if you're a Democratic Party leader and you're looking at this race as one that you know is not easy, are you concerned that there is going to, at this point, be a primary that doesn't look like any of these candidates plan to back out, and that it could get expensive, and that the ultimate winner of that primary doesn't have the resources that they had at the beginning to then turn around and try to win a general election race?
I think that's definitely a concern. I mean, one of the things that the Democrats have done reasonably well in the 6th District is to coalesce around a single candidate well before the nomination. Now, in some ways, that was because there just wasn't interest. There wasn't competition, and some of those candidates had to be recruited rather than sort of jumping in themselves. But it allowed the general election dynamics of a Democratic challenger running against Fred Upton to emerge much earlier. And in the case of Paul Clements, he was able to put together a campaign organization and to raise some money nationally because of the fact that it was clear that he was going to be the Democratic nominee running against Upton. With a crowded field and a relatively late primary compared to at least some other states, that changing from nomination mode to general election mode happens pretty quickly in Michigan, and particularly when we're talking about raising money from outside the state and establishing yourself and your connections with Democratic-leaning organizations that might provide money, individual donors that might provide money. There's simply not a lot of time to do that unless you sort of dominate the field and, you know, establish yourself at the time of the primary as the clear consensus Democratic challenger that everybody's behind. Looking at this field, it's not clear to me that there's anybody that has that level of name recognition, that level of support early on. Certainly things can change. But at this point, there's not one person that sort of stands out as being kind of head and shoulders above everybody else in terms of their experience or their candidate quality, if we can use that in sort of a generic sense. And as a result, I think it makes it very difficult to see how a crowded field at this point helps any Democrat win the 6th congressional district.
Since you mentioned Paul Clemens, let me note that he is one of the 5 Democrats who has announced they are running again. Should also note, interest to full disclosure, he is a colleague of yours.
That's in the right. Political Science Department. In the Political Science Department and is a great colleague.
Let me, though, ask you about the flip side of that, because I was talking to a Democrat not so long ago who said there could be an advantage to a primary, that it gets the candidates out there earlier, you know, because you have to actually compete to get votes for August. You kind of build up some resources. Maybe you get to fundraise a little earlier. Maybe voters who wouldn't want to hear in May and June about your candidacy in May and June of next year might be willing to listen if they know that there's going to be a vote to cast in 2 or 3 months as opposed to November, and that there might be some resources that ultimately the campaigns, assuming everybody coalesces around the winner, are willing to share when the primary is over and you shift to general election mode. Is there something to that?
Certainly that's a possibility. And, you know, there are historical examples of where that works. But it assumes that all of the folks who are supporting Democrats can coalesce, that it's not a bitter fight, that things don't turn ugly, and that at the end of the day, whatever the outcome, there are resources then that can be shared. I suspect that it's the case that this is going to be a relatively high, this 2018 is going to be a relatively high turnout election, simply because there's going to be a lot of candidates for a lot of offices and a lot of campaigns that are trying to get out the vote. That's something that we often don't see, at least in this part of the state, we often haven't seen. And so, you know, we could see higher turnout that sometimes then translates into higher turnout in the general election. So it's a possibility. But things could also go the other way. And it just is you know, we're going to have to wait and see how the dynamics play out once we get into a little bit more serious campaign mode.
So let's talk a little bit about the idea of Fred Upton as a candidate for United States Senate. If he were to get into this race, we should say that he has taken his time here on deciding whether or not to launch this campaign and said that he wasn't going to rush the decision. But if he does get in, what are the obstacles he faces as a congressman who has represented one corner of the state now for 30 years?
Yeah, so there are a number of challenges there. It's worth noting that his name is one that regularly gets mentioned as a possible statewide candidate, whether for the Senate or for some other statewide office. And I think that reflects the fact that he's viewed fairly positively by opinion leaders, whether it's folks in the media or you know, folks in Republican Party politics, as somebody who can build a coalition and can be successful. Whether or not he's ever been interested, I don't know, and whether or not he'll be interested this time around is difficult to say as well. There are a couple of very clear challenges that all candidates face, but certainly Representative Upton would. He's known in this part of the state, and that gives him a huge advantage should he run for re-election to the House of Representatives. But his statewide name recognition, not so much. It would certainly become a challenge for him in some other parts of the state and even some other Republican parts of the state to demonstrate to potential voters, either in the primary or in the general election, that he's a candidate that they should support. We've just talked about the Democrats in the 6th district in a crowded primary. It looks as though it's going to be a crowded primary for the Republicans when it comes to the United States Senate as well. And so that could create some difficulties. Does he have a clear path when he comes from a district that's fairly competitive, reasonably competitive, but in terms of media coverage is pretty isolated? And so once you get out of the Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, Battle Creek media market, do folks over on the east side of the state even know very much about him? Do folks in the northern part of the state even know very much about him? And so that would be establishing that name recognition would be an obstacle for him, as it will be for all of these candidates who are in the race or thinking about it, with one unique
exception. Yeah.
We can come back and talk about Kid Rock in a minute, perhaps.
Yeah.
But certainly for somebody like Fred Upton, both in the primary and then in the general election as well, that name recognition is going to be a big challenge. And then the other thing that that comes into play certainly is that we've got an incumbent United States senator who is both fairly popular, at least based on her track record so far, who's already raised a considerable amount of money, not a huge amount by Senate standards, but a considerable amount of money.
Would be seeking her fourth term, so she's been there a while.
And she's been, you know, she's established herself as someone that folks in Michigan can sort of look to as being a senator. She's done that by most measures reasonably well in terms of both politics and policy. And so whoever gets the Republican nomination is going to have to run against a fairly formidable incumbent, just like should Fred Upton choose to run for re-election, whoever wins the Democratic nomination would have to challenge a formidable incumbent in the 6th congressional district.
So if we look at these two, it's interesting that we're going to compare Fred Upton to Kid Rock this much, but I don't think that's happened a whole lot. But is it fair to say that these two gentlemen are on some different timetables in terms of having to make a decision? I mean, Congressman Upton has said that he's in no rush and he's got no timetable for deciding whether or not to run for U.S. Senate. But if he's going to kind of run a conventional campaign, he might be on one timetable, as opposed to Kid Rock, who, of course, has all sorts of money at his disposal to self-fund a campaign, no problem getting airtime. You know, I guess I'm wondering here if Fred Upton is going to have to make his decision sooner, if it's going to be serious, as opposed to Kid Rock.
Yeah, that's a good question. And I suspect with somebody like Fred Upton, who, if he gets in the race, is going to be a serious candidate. It's not something he's giving up a seat that he's held for a long time,
right.
A fairly comfortable. And so if he chooses to run for the Senate, it's because he thinks he can win and because he's, you know, going to be serious about it. He's not going to make that decision lightly. It's not going to be a sort of a flip decision. And if that's the case, then whether or not he formally declares, he'll have to be maneuvering in a way that makes him serious when it comes to the Republican primary and then subsequently the general election. It means he's going to be having the kind of fundraising that we typically see for United States Senate races as opposed to what we see for races for the House of Representatives.
And a Senate race is much more expensive than a
House
race.
Way more expensive. And, you know, certainly he's well positioned to raise money. And, you know, that comes from being a long-term member of the House of Representatives. But he's going to have to do that. And that takes time and it takes effort and you've got to be serious about it. He also has to, as we've talked about with his name recognition, he's got to expand that to other parts of the state. And so he's got to find ways to become visible to Republican Party leaders first, but Republican primary voters second across the state. Again, that's doable, but it takes time and it takes effort and it takes you out of the 6th district and it takes you out of Washington, D.C. and doing the business of the House of Representatives. The actual decision of, you know, whether or not to jump in or not can wait. But some of these other things, it seems to me, he would need to get started on relatively soon if he intended to be a serious candidate. And I can't imagine him making that decision without intending to be a serious candidate.
Okay, one last question here. I have not seen any of the polling leak on the 6th Congressional District, which I think at this point in the last two election cycles, there was some sort of polling which came out which indicated that Fred Upton might be vulnerable. Of course, he won both of the last two elections as he won the ones before that. And then we do have some polling on the U.S. Senate race that shows that Kid Rock, actually one poll, would be leading Debbie Stabenow. And
sure.
Then in another one, he's well within striking distance. In August of 2017, how seriously should we take any polling for Congress, United States Senate, governor, et cetera?
Not very seriously at all. And, you know, with a lot of these kinds of polls, we shouldn't ever take them too seriously, right? We shouldn't put too much into them, because at this point, it's a lot about name recognition. And it's a little about partisanship. It's a lot about partisanship. But in terms of, you know, sort of specific candidate versus specific candidate, you know, these things at this point really don't matter very much. That's why we have campaigns. That's why we have candidates put together their positions on issues, get out and meet voters, try and explain why they ought to be the one who's elected. And we're seeing candidates do that at this point. But most voters are not paying any attention to either of these races, frankly, at this point. Having said that, I do think that the 6th congressional district is potentially more competitive than it has been for Fred Upton in recent election cycles. If we look at the way the district has gone for other offices, it's been fairly competitive, as has been the entire state fairly competitive. And so when it comes to, you know, sort of candidate versus candidate, Fred Upton has a strong base in the 6th congressional district that makes it formidable for any challenger. But if Fred Upton is not on the ballot, if he chooses to run for some other office, or at some point if he chooses to retire, then all of a sudden you've got an open seat. And then the dynamics are different, and, you know, who knows what might happen under those circumstances. It's a reasonably safe Republican district, certainly when Upton's at the top of the ticket. Without him, it would still be a reasonably safe Republican district. But the right Democrat running against the right Republican could make the 6th district awfully competitive.
John, as always, thank you for your time.
Always a good time.
John Clark is a political science professor at Western Michigan University. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.